Precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for thy love and thy care for us. Lord, truly, Lord, in all the situations that we have seen, O God, we only see thy great hand, O God, in the life of thy minister, O God, thy apostle. Lord, we just like to approach you this morning, O God, and ask ourselves, where do we stand, O God, as a child of yours in this ministry that you have raised? Lord, help us, O God, to have a better understanding of thy mighty works and where we play our part, O God, as part of this great family of God. Father, this morning, O God, I pray, Lord, that thou would take control of my heart, O God, and help me to express my thoughts, O God, how that you help all my brothers and sisters here to know that in this walk, in this service for the Lord, what you require of us, O God, and what you are asking each and every one of us to do. Lord, I thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity, for this little sharing. I commit, O God, it all into your hand. May you have the preeminence, O God, and it's only you, O God, that your Spirit can speak to the hearts. All the rest, O God, are words of men, but unless, Lord, thou touch the heart, I pray, Father, that you help me, and may you have the preeminence, O God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. Today I'd like to entitle the sharing on the ministry of reconciliation. Hidden within this reconciliation role for each and every one of us, I would like to ask each and every one of us to ask ourselves, what is God's will for us to do in this work of His? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 8. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. We continue reading. I think the text is from verse 16 to 19. My apologies. Yeah. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constrain us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing them their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Here Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 clearly state that we have a part to play in this ministry of reconciliation. Paul has illustrated earlier, which he was telling them, that the lives that we have and the things that we see, we must always put ourselves in this role. How can what is God's will for us in this ministry? We all know that God has raised us up, the prophetic revelation ministry, for a purpose, to set a standard. And the standard is to uphold the truth in God's word, so that we can be an example. We must remember that when God called us and took us out from our old self, He also expects us, right, to live the life for Christ, for Him to be a standard, right, so that you can be a part of the ministry of God. If we look at the broader ministry, of course, it is well reflected in all the works that Ragan has done through the years. But what about you and I? We are all in different parts of the world, and we are all called here for a role and a purpose. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I wish to raise a point about the roles of the ministers and the fivefold ministries and our role. We all can see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Now, is the fivefold ministry the only people that's going to do all the work regarding what God is doing? You have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. But what about each and every one of you? If God's ministry, when He told the disciples, right, His intent, right, is for us to continue His work. Remember, Jesus told the woman at the well, right, that they that come to God worship God in spirit and in truth, and out of His bowels shall flow rivers of living water. When God gave us His Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, the job of us bringing the truth of God to the world, right, to each and every one of the people that we come in contact with, is for us to live the life of Christ and understand what God's will is for us in our life, to live it such that God can be glorified. If we can just go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to bring your attention to verse 20 and 21. The ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. In verse 20, Paul says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that be ye reconciled to God. For He had made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So, brothers and sisters, you must remember, each and every one of you are the ambassador for Christ to all the people that you come into contact with. Why is it so? When God called us, correct, what is expected of us? He wants us to be reconciled to Him so that we can manifest the righteousness of God in Him. Verse 1 and 2. He told the Romans, "I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be ambassadors for Him so that we can manifest the righteousness of God in our lives. It can only be done with His help. And here, Paul is saying that when God called us, we all know that when we are first time born again and the Lord touch us, the joy that's in our hearts that is lifting up our hearts in happiness is so wonderful. But after that beginning, the journey is going to be something that we must continue to do our part to draw closer to God, right? To live the life that we can prove what is good, what is acceptable, perfect will of God. Brothers and sisters, let me ask each and every one of you personally that what do you think is God's will in your life for Him in this present time, in this fellowship, in this ministry of Him? What part can you play? Many times we have been faced, especially in Singapore, the demands and pressure of the world, the commitments in life, and the things that draw us away from God, right? It's always eating into our time, eating into our personal life. But we always forget our responsibility, our part to play, right? To really search God and to understand God. Now, each and every one of us must know the purpose of God coming to call you, to let you live a life that is a standard to show what is His perfect will, what is good and acceptable. It is actually the righteousness of God. But to be frank, it is easier said than done. We can talk about it, right? We can hear about it. But what are you doing about it in your life? Where is your spiritual life that you have versus compared, right, to what God's Word is teaching you, compared to what you are living now? Is it a life that you want to pursue your career, pursue your personal interest? Then where is God's interest? So I challenge each and every one of you that you are called, right, by God for a purpose, to be part of this ministry, to do your part. But it is not easy, right, for us to really come in the presence of God and to learn from His Word, because the devil is not going to sit behind and leave you alone. The amount of distractions and the amount of problems they're going to hit you, right, is far more worse than anything else. So let us go to the book of Judges, and we take a look at Judges chapter 6. We take a look at the condition of the children of Israel during the time when they are fighting against the Midianites. And Judges chapter 6, we are reading from verse 1 to 12. And there we see how God came and called Gideon and asked him to do something. Judges chapter 6, reading from verse 1 to 12. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for multitude, and for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished against because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drove them out from before you and give you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in the, whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophir, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. We pause here and we can see that when God called us in this journey and want us to obey Him and to live a life that is righteous before Him, what does it take? He's going to actually refine you and make you submit your will to Him. Look at the children of Israel. They all know what God can do, but because they disobeyed God, right? They turned against Him, and God will always send trials and testings at the enemies to teach them a lesson. And it is not a simple lesson, right? It is something that's going to remove everything that they have. And here, all the food and the harvest that they have is all gone, and it came on troubling them for 7 years until they have to hide themselves in the caves and see how they can avoid, until they cry unto the Lord. This is the same way the Lord is going to deal with each and every one of us. You have been blessed and given the privilege to know the truth. Where do you stand in your life with God? Did you give your life to the Lord and obey Him? Did you live up to His word and be a role to serve Him, be a servant to Him? Don't think that the role of the God's ministry belongs to the fivefold ministry. It belongs to each and every one of you, because your spiritual life is your responsibility to learn and to apply. And how God is doing this is He's threshing Israel very hard until when they cried unto Him. The process of accepting our when God breaks our will, when God deals with us, okay, don't rebel against Him. Rebellion and stubbornness is idolatry and is as good as witchcraft in the eyes of God. The mercies of God and the hand of God is always on us wherever we are, telling us that come back to His word, come back to His truth, and humble yourself and accept Him as He is. If you rebel, right, and go against Him, then the trials and the testing is going to be worse, because you are a child of God and God's hands is on you. The Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit so that you actually hurt God. It's the same here with the children of Israel. And in the end, they humble themselves and cry unto God, and God called Gideon, and the angel of the Lord sat there and talked to him and called out to him. Let's read on and see what happened. The angel of the Lord called Gideon and said, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, of saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, when we look at Gideon, technically, in fact, they were all running away from the Midianites, hiding themselves. He is no man of valor, right? He is so worried that his harvest, which he is trying to actually do the winnowing and the threshing, he goes to the wine press, and that's not the place to do your winnowing, right? He's trying to hide from the enemies. And in the eyes of the people that is looking at Gideon, he's no hero. He's no mighty man of valor. But when God look at each and every one of us, he look at us differently. Don't let whatever conditions that you're in, right, whatever obstacles that you have, or whatever weaknesses that you see, but when God called you for this role, to stand and serve him, and be an ambassador for him in this ministry, right, God will help you through. But you must know that the way God works is not the way we think he should work. And that is the problem with us. How do we seek God's will in us? To understand it such that we can actually be of use to him. So Gideon has a very interesting experience with God. He thought, okay, you know, we can actually go down a little bit, right? Then I will elaborate. So, in verse 15, he says, "Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And he said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talks with me." Now, Gideon is very sure, right, that his family is the poorest and he's the least, right? And how am I going to do? But when God looked at him, God told him that just go as you are and you will smite the Midianite as one man. And we all know that when God works, it's never the same way as our human mind, our logical thinking, try to analyze and try and solve for him. So we are at a point of in our lives that let's get serious with what we have in our relationship with God. Let's ask ourselves, what is God's will in us for us to do it right? And if you really want to discover God's will, then you must know the way up is the way down, right? Because we all know that when God deals with us, okay, it is totally different until you surrender and give it to him, correct? Then God can work. It's like Abraham, correct? You know how much he loved Isaac, right? And God wanted him to sacrifice Isaac to him because that is the place in Abraham's heart that God wanted him to surrender to him, correct? So this is the same for each and every one of us. Our hearts must be right with God, and the attitude must be right. If your heart and your attitude is right with God, then God can do and move. But the journey that we have, the trials and the testing that we face, there are endless questions that we always ask. And we are human to begin with. But you must remember, God do not share his glory with anybody. All glory belongs to God. So in the situation of Gideon, he had so many people volunteer to fight for him, right? And God actually asked all of them to go back. And in the end, he only left with 300. And he go to a war with no sword, no weapons, nothing, but vessels of clay and trumpet with the 300, right? So you must remember this, brothers and sisters. If we can surrender our life to God and ask God, "You show me how I can serve you, how I can know your will," right? Then
The glory will belong to the God,
belong to the Lord,
not with you. There's nothing that God requires you to do, correct? But to submit to Him and obey Him. That is how God works. Not something which our own analysis, our own comparison, or our own thoughts and emotion. So, the ministry that God is doing, correct, will continue to do because it belongs to God. It don't belong to a man, right? The life that you have, right, also God gave you an opportunity to do. But if you do not obey Him, correct, then God will not wait for you, right? I give you another example. We know the story of Esther and Mordecai, right? When the enemy Hannah wanted to destroy all the children of Israel, correct? So God told her that I called you, right? Esther was an orphan, and Mordecai raised her up, and she's a Jew. And God raised her up from nothing to become the queen of Assyria. And she was there, given that opportunity to be in that position where he can serve God. Let's go to Esther chapter 4, verse 12. It was a communication between Esther and Mordecai. And in verse 12, it says, "And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?'" So here is a very profound truth which Mordecai told Esther. God is in control. God has given you this opportunity. You think you should hold your peace? Maybe this is God's purpose for raising you up to be the queen to do it. That was what convicted Esther to ask them to pray a fast for her, and she went. Right? And it is not easy, right? And it is not easy when God is dealing with us in our life and moving our hearts to find what is His will, what we should do, correct? There are many opportunities that we can come and stand and help, right? And do something for God. So for us, the life that we have, don't think that we have to do big things and do travel overseas like the fivefold ministers, but each and every one of us can do in our own small way to help, right, the family of God and the work of God. You understand what I'm saying? So the issue is, if you don't do it, God will raise somebody else to do it. So don't test the patience of God. Don't waste your life away. We all are at different ages, and we have come in different, learned through different paths in life. God has blessed us. Right? God has kept us, but throughout that life that we have, He has always been teaching us and telling us that I died for you on the cross of Calvary, correct? What do you think God wants you to do? If you are a criminal or a prisoner and you are going to your death sentence, if the king can pardon you, correct, what is the thing that you should do if you are given a life again for Him? You should be dedicating your life to serve Him, right? The best that you know how, right? That is the least that you can do. So I ask each and every one of you, right, the question which is very crucial. If Christ died for you, are you worth the death of Christ? What have you done, right, for Him? So, brothers and sisters, let's know that the ministry of God requires each and every one of us to do our part. You see, we all know in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were called to be priests and set an example to be righteous people for all the people of the world. In the New Testament, God moved it into each and every one of us, all the born-again child of God. And the covenant that God gave us is to be in constant closeness to Him, to know Him, right? So that we can serve Him and obey Him when He wants us to do something for Him. Now, it cannot be something that is overnight or something that just happened to hit you and then you realize that this is something you must do. You have to do. The life that we have when God called us, okay, He clearly says that I want you, okay, to actually, chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." The life that you have is to be like the life of Paul, to be offered to the Lord when God turned him around. And when God strike him, all the killing that he's doing to the Christian at this time, he was shocked, and he's so indebted to the Lord that he committed all to the Lord. It's the same that the Lord wants from each and every one. You and I need to offer our life to God so that God can actually use us. And God do not need to use you like the fivefold ministry, but God needs to use you as an ambassador within where you are. It is not the big things that you are doing before, but it's your life, whether you are a student, you are a worker, or you are your position of life that you are in. Have you, right, lived a life, right, showing to the people that you come in contact with that there is a God that we believe in, and there is a truth, right, that He has shown us, that we want to share with each and every one of you, that if you believe on Him, you can be set free from your sins and set free from all your bondage. Now, the understanding of God's will, right, is something that we need to approach it carefully. Many times, we want God to answer our prayer, or to, how do I put it? I want to have the gifts and the miracles of God, right, to also share the glory with God when I have it. But that's not the correct. That means if God is to do some work, we are human, our mind will tend to analyze and tend to think, okay, if I can do this, you know, do that, I should get the blessing of God. So that's how Satan attacked the Christianity nowadays with the modern way of gospel believing, right? Prosperity. So here, what I'm trying to say is, don't get yourself mixed up when you want to find God's will for you. It cannot be something that is very hard and something that is very difficult and something that you can't find it. The Bible says that when our Lord, when He was going to the cross of Calvary, He told His disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes, correct, He'll bring you to remembrance in all truth. Right? Okay? So the way we should learn from the Lord is, you must be actually prayerful, communicating with God, and learning from the Word of God. It's not very complicated. It's like I was the thing that if you were approached with a situation that, you know, God, I'm very convinced in my heart, you know, that God wants me to divorce my wife and go and marry the other woman. To me, this is my conviction. Right? I think it's the will of God. You think that is the will of God? So the basic fact is, the Bible actually gave you the truth and the basic for you to obey and honor, right? So you got to always see from the scripture and see from the line of authority how God works. Okay? So the life that you have in searching for the will of God mustn't be mixed up to something that is very big and complicated that you're not able to do it. It's not true. Yeah? Okay. Secondly is, God doesn't reveal His intent suddenly and dramatically. Right? When God works, I give you a testimony that I hear from Brother Andrew's church, Brother Zima. Right? He was all the while with Brother Andrew, and then when they have their evangelical outreach to Futama and Chantama, correct? How God works in his life. He cannot, he is an English teacher, he can speak very well, you know, and he can teach. So he's in demand. But whenever he goes to work, correct, he will be, there's no peace in him, right? He just, I just can't find the comfort there. So when God moves, correct, fire will burn, and then he just, so in the end, he just quit. He said, I just need to quit, you know. And he couldn't explain to his wife, but they all know that they have to wait on the Lord. Right? So what happened was, when you go to Chatama for the outreach, okay, he played a key role because after the outreach at Chatama, right, he stayed behind to continue the work. You know, when you do an evangelical ministry into a rural town in Africa, you cannot just go there, save the soul, and then you just leave everybody alone and then disappear, go back, right? There's a lot of work, right? There's a lot of work involved where after all the outreach, you got to establish the people, build up their faith, right? And these are the works that God is looking at each and every one of us that we have to help, right? In a church, all of us have different stages of growth. You need to establish the younger ones, the older ones, correct? Help them to grow spiritually and guide their experience which you walk with God. A church has to know the doctrines of God, has to understand the leading of God, right? And it is because the local church is established, then the other ministry, the outreach, the evangelical outreach can go out. So the way God works with Brother Zimmer is really wonderful. And he was all the while with Brother Andrew Peary, right? So when God dealt with him and moved him, he actually quit his job. Then when his father passed on, his parents are staying in Chatama. So the outreach at Chatama was very successful, right? But he ended up realizing that his part to play is to help out in the ministry, to stay there and continue encouraging the people, gathering them and sharing. And he used the phrase which I like very much is, he's just that donkey that's carrying Christ towards Jerusalem. Alright? But actually his testimony is what touches me most. And the point is, when your heart is burning, alright, and God don't give you rest and peace and stir within you to come back to Him, alright, or to do something for Him, right? You will be caught in that situation that is like Gideon. Everything is against you, just nothing seems to work, and you've got to ask God to show you what's next. So this is something that each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, you got to approach God and ask God for His will for you. What role can you play? Okay? Now, I emphasize on Friday the importance of abiding in the presence of God. That relationship that you have with God is going to help you through in understanding how God speaks and how God works. So remember that I actually shared that each and every, you know, Bradgun was told, right, revival starts from you, right? But that revival goes for all of you too, right? Do you think you need a revival for God in your life to help you find out what is God's will for you as an individual? If you think you do, then revival starts with you, right? Okay? Then the approach you have to God to understand seeking His will is able to progress because you learn to communicate with God and spend time finding out from God what He wants from you. I really want to emphasize again that in Singapore, our life is too busy. We don't have time for God. And if we are serious with our spiritual growth, please, every day before you start the day, find time for God and meditate on Him, on what He wants for you. Okay? You realize in the cycle of life, after a while, right, everyone leaves, they will grow old, they will die. Right? Okay? And this is what we must know, that in all the things that we do, okay, nothing is that important as doing something for God in God's ministry. That is why God saves you. Right? And it's your life, if you can serve God and help Him, it is something that you can stand and meet Him when you die. Right? So the journey that we have, and because you know, we go to Zechariah chapter 13. I like to read from verse 7 to 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Verse 9, and I will bring the third part through fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Right, sisters, we are at that crucial junction where the Lord, through the prophet Zechariah, was telling the children of Israel, if the Lord were to smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. But we should be that one third, right, that the Lord, whom we are privileged to know, to call Him the Lord is my God. We are His people. But what is needed from us is, we will definitely be refined as silver is refined and tried as gold is tried. This is very important. The trials and testing and the pain that we face and see is something that we have, each and every one of us as an individual, to learn and to understand how God is dealing with us and working in us. Because if we are sincere in hearing God, right, and if we are willing to listen to God, then what do you think God want us to do? Many times the things of this world and the commitments of life draw us away from God, but we always forget the very important part as a child of God. What does God want us to do so that we can actually serve Him? Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 3. When we tell the Lord that we want to serve Him, right? Okay, Romans 12, verse 3 to 8 shows how we should conduct ourselves and serve Him. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We continue to verse 9. But we know, before we read that, the serving the Lord comes in many ways and many forms. And Paul here is telling the Romans that you can be exhorting one another, you know, encouraging one another, testifying, right, as you learn and grow in the Lord, encouraging one another. And the whole essence of the whole thing is the love, right? So in verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, and bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, and rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Verse 16 says, be of the same mind one towards another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. So, brothers and sisters, this is what Paul was advising the Romans, and this is what we can serve the Lord in. What is God's will for you is for you to build up your relationship with Him daily and find out what role you can play and how you can serve. Remember, we are part and parcel of the body of Christ. It's not just a local assembly, but it's an international assembly. Right, all over the world, and God has raised us up for a purpose to help, and we want to see His work continue, because God is not someone that will drastically change His plan. Right? He has His purpose and He has His outreach. So the responsibility that we have to step up, right, and to step in, is something that we must know and we must do, and with the Lord's guidance on us, then we can actually move closer. Okay? Now, having said this, I also would like to bring up something that when we search and ask God regarding His will, and ask God to show us His will, many a times the reason that we actually seek Him, right, and we ask Him, we must be very careful that Satan is not going to sit back and leave us alone. Eh? Right? He's going to trash us, and He's going to come against us and give us a lot of problems so that we will not be able to serve Him and obey Him. So, the key point that all of us must know is, you have to really know that when you come to God and ask God to show you His will, and ask God to move, right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 from verse 9 to 15 is the Lord's Prayer. And verse 10, He says that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We have many a times wonder, when we keep praying to the Lord and ask for His kingdom, the kingdom of God. Remember the Bible says, the kingdom of God is within you. Right? Now, we are living that life for God to manifest His righteousness and His life in us so that God will get the glory. So that this kingdom of God in our life, it actually starts now. It's not wait until Christ comes in the millennium and you go with Him. Why does God keep on dealing with us about this basic doctrine of your life, the way you walk? Why does He keep on molding us and changing us, reminding us the importance of having the repentance and turn away from sin to serve Him? Now, in our walk with Him, you got to understand that the Word of God, your attitude towards the Word of God and respecting God is very important. Okay? So when God says that, if you come to me and the brother, you have not forgiven your brother, right? You should go and ask now for forgiveness, right? Or you should forgive your brother if they have done something against you. That attitude is what is going to change you, because when we live the life of Christ, that is what God wants us to do. And Satan attacked the church, right, and attacked the local assembly very subtly in what we call offenses, stumbling block, correct? Now, we know in the book of Romans, on stumbling block, where he says that if in the eating of meat, right, my brother is offended and he stumbled, then I will not eat. Correct? So what we do is the ability to be to be sensitive to the need of the brother and to help the brother, correct, so that they won't fall spiritually in their walk with the Lord. So the role each and every one of us need to do is to help each other with the experience of your growth, your spiritual growth with God. You know what I mean? Correct? Your experience that you have gone through, right, is a testimony to your brothers and sisters to help them draw closer to God. Right? And the offenses and the stumbling blocks are things in life, correct? The reality. Why is it so? God is always telling the children of Israel to continue to grow spiritually, to have the love of God, correct? To walk in humility, in humbleness, to serve one another, love one another. It is because we are going to come to a stage of perfection where we can fitly help one another be ready for the coming of the Lord. Right? Now, let me ask you a question then. Okay? If God were to come and call His bride, okay, how do you know you are ready for Him? When He come and call you, right? Okay. Do you think you will not be able to know? You see, when Christ came, when He was born at the temple, correct? Of all the children of Israel, two of them know that this child is the Messiah, correct? Simeon, right? Why? Because they live a life in so close relationship with God that God actually told them, right? Before you die, you will see the Messiah. This is the same. Okay? If you cannot live your life to a stage where you're so close to God and so sensitive to God, when He comes, right, it shouldn't be a surprise, you know what I mean? Actually, there will be a connection. Right? So what I'm saying is the experience that we have, the responsibility that we ask God, what can I do? How can I help? Is something that is real, something that is now, and something that in the family of God we must do. So that love, that sensitivity, the gifts and the calling of God, correct? In the sense of helping one another, praying for one another. You know, Paul always says, pray continuously, rejoice continuously. We all heard it, right? The prison to praise, the power to praise. What is it? It is actually the experience, that walk you have with the Lord, that you need to take it seriously and work on it. Now, the revival that you want as an individual,
correct,
must start with you. You must have a thirst and a hunger for it. There must be action from you, right? Why? Because the God's word is already laid very clearly, right, that He has actually given us the salvation, given us the truth, given us the word of God. But now, the onus is on us. What are you going to do about it? So when we seek the Lord and ask the Lord to show us His will and our part to play in His ministry, we must remember that prayer is the most important. Now, prayer is not something that is easiest. How do I put it? To pray effectively, yeah, correct. So I read this. Think of it. This new Christian was pushing the deacon, you know, and asking him how to pray. You know, I see the brothers they pray very long. You know, they can pray for hours, but I almost finished my prayer in a short while. I don't know how to pray, right? Then the deacon told the new brother, said, "Oh, you must take all the names of all the people who are in need, form a long list, you know, correct, and then make sure you thank God for everything, you know, then after that, then you pray for that, then at least you can pray for a few hours, pray through the night," you know what I mean? But it's not like that, right? So the minister just told the newborn brother, I said, "Hey, what's the answer to prayer? It's not the praying and the talking and talking, right? The answer is in one word. You must listen. You must listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to the Word of God." Correct? It's not you doing all the talking, right? That is your relationship with God, how you should do it, right? Now, prayer, as the word is ineffective if you do not get your life right with God. Remember when Elijah was confronting the 400 priests praying for their gods to answer? They also pray very hard. They cut themselves, make sure they bleed, right? Correct? But did they get answered? Your prayers will be not answered, correct, if you don't get right with God. Correct? So your life, your practice, your action that you do, correct? You respect God? Right? You give glory to God? Correct? Or did you confess and you realize where you've gone wrong and you repent? Repentance is not for sinners only, and they get salvation. Repentance is a process where we learn. You look at King David. God is not interested in the end product. God is interested in you and your life now, your experience with Him. You know what I mean? Correct? Your experience with God is more important than the end product. Okay? So, when God is dealing with you, when you approach Him in prayer, correct, and you realize that you have sinned against Him, be like King David. Repent. Confess your fault and admit it. It's not very difficult, but the problem with our pride, right, and our personal pride is something that we have to get rid, right? You have to die to that old self. And human being human, right, despite all that we learn from the Lord, as long as we are in this body, our old five senses, right, the old familiar spirit will haunt us, correct? That, it is very true when we are seeking the Lord. The more you seek the Lord, correct, the more your old habits will come and tell you, right, and give you a problem along the way. And that's how Satan stirs up hinders you in your growth. Okay? So, we have heard it many times, but I think what is more important is your experience that you have when you approach God. Okay? So when we approach God, so I was trying to find out how to do prayer. So there are many good books, right, on prayer. And they always say that, you know, the problem with men is that when we pray, we expect prayer to be instant, God to answer. That's the problem, right? If we can't get it, then how? Correct? So we will borrow from example. If you do this, you give
right, you'll be rewarded. You know, now that's the worst, when you quote the Bible doctrines out of context, and you use it like a prosperity gospel, or your life will be blessed, you'll get rich, I think you'll be in deep trouble, right? Why? God is more interested in you rather than the surrounding. If you can realize that your experience with God, God is actually molding you, just like He molded Abraham. Abraham has to give up, right, and sacrifice Isaac. Then God knows, and God says, now I know, right? I have the full, your heart is with me. Just, that's the only son that He has, and to sacrifice him is something that is beyond him, right? Now, sin. When we are seeking the Lord and asking the Lord for things, you got to also realize that if you want to help your spouse or your family members or your friends, correct? You yourself have to get right with God. If you cannot get right with God and the life of God cannot live in you, it's very hard for you to let the Spirit lead you to witness. Right? So you are like telling, that's how you say it, if you sell a product, on beauty product and you look so ugly, no point selling. You know what I mean? So that life is very important, correct? So your position you are in, and when you seek the Lord, once you understand this, you must know. So just now I was going to Matthew, right? I want to bring a point about seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So your heart, when you search God for His will for you, you got to seek Him and put Him first, and don't let any other thing distract you. Once you put God first, the rest of the things will fall in place. It's not the reverse, not Maslow needs, and make sure everybody got food, happy, then you can, they will be ready to seek God. No, it doesn't work like that for God. Okay? Then, the other point is, when we are asking the Lord, right, to use us and do a part role to play, there's something that we must know. God, when we see in the examples of the Old Testament, God has a pattern. Yeah? Whenever the children of Israel get too rich, prosperous, they will forget about God. Correct? The moment they get too attracted by the neighbors, like idolatry worshippers, they will forget about God. So what God is always telling each and every one of us is, you got to be very serious with your intention to find out God's will for you and do your part to serve Him. So I really hope that we all will not get distracted, right? Now we know that when God moves, He always wants us to follow, right? So what is God's command to the disciples? Okay, He told Peter, right? The moment when He resurrected, the moment when He died, all of them went off, right? Then when He resurrected, He went to them. He told them, He told Peter, right? Okay? Feed my sheep. But there's something that is very important, right? If you love me, feed my sheep. Right? So, brothers and sisters, the secret for us to really able to really seek the Lord is your love for the Lord. I bring you to the example of King David and his three mighty men. What happened was, David was just saying when he was there, and he just said out loud that I thirst for the water of Jerusalem to drink it. And his three mighty men, no need to give instructions, right? That night alone, they just went in and went all the way there to take the water for him. Went into the Philistines, you know, and took the water for him. What made them do it? He didn't give any command, right? But he just heard him. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but pour it out unto the Lord. And he said, be far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. And this thing did these three mighty men.
Love is what drove this man, these three mighty men of valor, to do what they want to do, to bring the water for David to drink. So likewise, brothers and sisters, you want to find out how much you can serve the Lord, or how much, how worthy you are, right, for the Lord who died for you. You must have that love for Him. If your love ever dies out and get distracted with the things of this world, right, please remember this. You can never bring the riches of this world with you when you die. Correct? So don't waste your life, okay, pursuing all these things, thinking that you can make life better. Let's come to the fact that if God is given us this privilege and truth to know what He has done, right, and moving us closer to Him as we wait for His coming, let's build up that love for Him that can compel us to do things for Him. Right? You find that when you love the Lord and you do, everything is a joy. Right? And God will provide the means. Right? So we must know that seeking God's will and doing it is not something that is one day affair. It's a continuous process. And the ability for us to actually let Him use us, you know, and teach us, okay, to help one another, is something which we really treasure, correct? To help one another move forward. The body of Christ meet each and every members, right? Different members, because we all have a part to play, right? I mean, can you imagine I go heaven and I'm the only one saved? Heaven will be very lonely, correct? So it is like you have got a responsibility. You know, when God told Cain, where is thy brother Abel? Correct? And Cain told God, am I my brother's keeper? Correct? He was very upset. But let me ask you, are you your brother's keeper? Right? We are all part of the family of God, right? If we are not our brother's keeper, then who is supposed to keep? Everyone thinks that, oh, this is God's work, not my work. You know, someone else should do this. Right? If a brother is not here, it's God's responsibility, not my responsibility. So don't get deceived with the misconception that God knows who He wants to save. Correct? God knows the end and the beginning. God is the author and the finisher. So everything God lah. I'm not part of the equation. You know what I mean? Correct? So this is something which is a wrong thinking, right? And something that is not a right perspective. So, brothers and sisters, when I was reading the testimonies of the believers that was converted in Chatama when Brother Andrew's Spirit Church went to the outreach and Brother Zimo there, can you imagine the villagers were facing idolatry and drunkenness, you know, right, and demon possession. And when you see how God, prayer and fasting and the preaching of God's word can open up their mind, you look at the testimonies, please go and read it, right? How that that there was a case of a boarding school girl who was, either she's crying or she's prophesying. And her prophesying is rattling away, you know. Correct? And she was troubled by this spirit. Okay? So God is not the God of confusion, right? So when Brother Zima and this
the other brother were praying for her, so they tried to calm her down, right? So I was quite intrigued by the testimony, because they were trying to show her the word of God, right? And see whether she can see it and pray for her that to set her free from that spirit that is troubling her. They tried 1 hour, you know, they pray, show, see the same, right? So then they were almost about to give up. Then they went out to the bush and prayed again. Okay? And when they were praying, suddenly their heart just got burdened and see that the suffering she has and their love for her, right, becomes so strong, right? And they prayed to God again and they said, let's go back and pray for her one more time, right? So when you really pray and God moves your heart with a burden, and God works, correct? It helps. Okay? So prayer is something that you and I must know. The only weapon that we have, correct, against the devil, correct? Ephesians chapter 6, you will find that the armor of God is from verse 10, okay, to all the way down to verse 17. Okay, so let's read that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you look at verse 17, Richard, do you have a weapon? The sword of the Spirit, right, that we hear is actually the Spirit of God, right? You got no weapon, right? You know what I mean? So your ability to actually be walking in the Spirit of God, closeness to Him. Why? Because the Bible says the Spirit will bring you the remembrance from the Word. The Word and the Spirit goes hand in hand, right? Okay? So this is something that we must know. So when we are praying, we are getting in tune into the presence of God, correct? And trying to understand God. But prayer is, as I say, is very complex in the sense that it's not just talking, correct? Or building relationship. It is something that prayer that you need to discover how God works and how you should get into that atmosphere of worship and you can hear from Him. So the problem with us, so many years on earth with our own human mind, so many things boggling our mind, correct? The mind is the battlefield, right? The we actually trouble us in our closeness to God. So when we get into prayer and the love of God, like the testimony I shared, so they went back and prayed for that girl, right? She was actually prone now. The only problem with that testimony is that Brother Zima was talking in his local dialect, so I was trying to interpret it, so I told him to translate for me again, right? So the issue is that, you know, when our heart have a burden, you know, and when we see lives change, the part that we go to outreach and evangelize and help someone in need, fight the spiritual warfare, in Africa it's easier to see, right? Drunkenness, demon possession. But how about here? Where is that the spiritual wickedness, the things that actually destroy us and take us away from God? Where is that spiritual warfare that Paul here is talking about? The
We're fighting against powers, against darkness in this world. In a modern developed country, the things that is going to draw you away is all your entertainment, correct? All your busyness, all your time that you have that you can't give to God. Correct? Okay? That is a spiritual warfare. Okay? There is that wickedness in high places. That is even more subtle than the other one. Correct? The manifestation of the demon possession is so obvious. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, you must remember that the roles that we would like to do for God, right? Seeking His will, and in this journey that we have, it is the same relationship that God is looking at us. What is most important God is telling us is that I want a closer relationship with you. If you find values in my if you, right, God says that if I called you, right, to be my son and my daughter for Him, to be a part of His family, God is trying very God is all out to embrace us. But what is in it for us? You are supposed to be in the position where you allow God to use you and your life live the life of Christ for Him to receive the glory. Okay? So if you can find the purpose of God in you, right, and His will for you, to love Him more and show how much you care for Him and return it to Him, be a part of the ministry of God. The process of reconciliation will continue. Who knows, each and every one of us, we have that added role to help one another. You are your brother's keeper, right? And to help them to pick up from where they are. It is an ongoing battle, right, that we have to face, right? But I pray that this little sharing will be able to lift you up and help you to realize the importance of obeying God's word, right? And build up that relationship with Him, right? Shall we all stand and just close in prayer? Yeah. Just bow our heads and ask ourselves and tell the Lord that, Lord, what is your will for us, Lord? And where are we, Lord, in this life? And how much we have done to return you for what you have done on the cross of Calvary. Brothers and sisters, I sincerely ask from all of you that you commit your heart to the Lord and ask the Lord to show you. Find time to seek the Lord and find time to really draw closer to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time of God and this little sharing. Father, may you touch the hearts, O Lord, of all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help them, O God, to lift up their hearts and put up their hands towards you to say that, Lord, we want to serve you, Lord. We want to be a vessel of use. Father, we all are privileged, O God, to be part of this ministry, part of Bragan's outreach. Lord, you have raised us up for a standard, O God, and we know you will see us through. Father, indeed, we know, Lord, that Thou art the great shepherd. You will help us through in all these trials and testing that we face. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning, O God, for bringing us together once again. Lord, be in my hearts, O God. We know you are still the great God, the great Jehovah God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will always be there for us, Lord. But on our part, Lord, help us to search our hearts, to rededicate it once and for all to you, to be focused, O God, to persevere, to draw closer to you. May you bless, O Lord, each and every one of my brothers and sisters, and touch them, Lord, and draw them closer to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.